Scott Burguin of KSOW-LP in Cottage Grove, and we're turning this morning to talk to Eric Nicholson of the United Farm Workers. He's the regional director in the Northwest here. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning.
Eric, what drew my attention is I've always got a kind of a ear open for United Farm Worker happenings and needs, and I saw a action alert come across the internet concerning Three Mile Canyon Farms, I believe it is, and Kettle Foods, both in Oregon, or at least headquartered in Oregon, is that correct?
Right.
Why don't you tell us about what the situation is and what caused the United Farm Workers to draw attention to or try to bring some pressure on Kettle Foods?
Sure. For about the last 2.5 years, we've been supporting workers employed out at Three Mile Canyon Farms, which is an industrial farm, about 93,000 acres, located outside of Boardman, which is about 160 miles east of Portland. And at Three Mile, they grow potatoes and are home to the largest dairy in the world that has 55,000 cows. And workers have been enduring just a number of issues, threats, intimidation. There's been health and safety violations, sexual discrimination, where the farm has refused to hire any women to work at its dairy, minimum wage violations, and a pretty, strong anti-union campaign against workers trying to break their desire to have a union.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have done is appeal to companies that have relationships with the farm to call on them to use their influence to help resolve the situation. And we've worked very well together with Tillamook, for example. Tillamook gets a large amount of milk from this dairy and other suppliers. And we turned to Kettle back in July of this year and asked them to also add their voice to the growing chorus for the farm to sit down and negotiate with us and try to resolve a bunch of these problems that these workers face.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, we didn't get very far. Kettle wasn't very responsive in the early days and left us with pretty much no alternative but to appeal to consumers across the United States and also in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And ask for them to contact Kettle to let them know that this is an issue that was important to them. And that's what we did last week, and it was very successful. We generated thousands of emails into Kettle. We had an article in the Statesman Journal up down in Salem.
Mm-hmm.
And also had letters of support from unions in Canada, union members in Ireland. Kettle Foods, believe it or not, sells a lot of their chips over in the United Kingdom. So we appealed to consumers across the Atlantic. And Kettle's credit, they got the message loud and clear. And on Monday of this week, we sat down with their president and agreed that he would go on record calling for the farm to negotiate, which is what he's done. So we want to congratulate Kettle and thank them for their responsiveness and another step forward in the struggle for workers to win justice out at this farm.
All right. Well, I permit me to be somewhat astonished, actually, that that's a pretty quick turnaround and speaks volumes to all that support, of course, you generated, but the clout and clout really that the United Farm Workers fortunately still has in this day and age. Now Kettle Foods is headquartered in Salem, Oregon, right?
Right.
The state capital. I wasn't aware that they were international. And I would guess that the size of Three Mile Canyon Farms, which of course is the main focal point here, is they're selling product all over the country and the world as well. Is that
primarily here in the States? They do sell milk to companies like Sorrento,
mm-hmm.
that makes Precious brand mozzarella and ricotta cheese. Sorrento is a company that has been entirely non-responsive.
Mm.
In fact, earlier this year, we were invited over to France. Sorrento is owned by a French multinational, and participated in action with French dairy farmers. Who are being put out of business by Sorrento's parent company's predatory practices. And so here we had Mexican immigrants in eastern Oregon finding common cause with French dairy farmers facing the same multinational.
Mm-hmm.
Bank of the West, which is the primary lender to the farm, has extended a $101 million line of credit, has failed to take action. Tomorrow we'll be doing a major action up in Portland, announcing announcing an international campaign around Bank of the West and a new lawsuit against the farm.
Okay.
So we've been taking it to the streets, literally, and taking it to consumers. And mm-hmm. what we've seen historically with the United Farm Workers and farm workers in general is that when farm workers and consumers unite, we have a lot of power because mm-hmm. We're both, you know, talking about how the food is getting out of the fields and how it's getting into people's stomachs. And when we find common cause, we can really change a lot in this food system.
Well, let's move a little bit more focus on Three Mile Canyon Farms. If you can tell us a bit more about, you've mentioned something about the kind of conditions that are happening there for workers. I'd like to know a little bit more about the farm, if you know about the number of employees there, and what the, kind of a little bit on the history of the attempt. We're still in an attempt to organize, right, to allow the workers to unionize. If you could say more about that, that would be, I think that would be helpful.
Well, I think it's important to understand that Three Mile is a industrial farm. Its size makes it one of the largest irrigation farms in the United States, in addition housing largest dairy. It was created with the generous support of the state government. The Secretary of Treasury's office, Randall Edwards, provided them with $30 million in private activity bonds. And every year they're getting a federal subsidy from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, about $200,000. It's owned by two out-of-state interests, one guy out of California, and the primary owner is one of the largest potato growers in the world, a guy named Ron Offit, who's out of Fargo, North Dakota. And about 300 full-time workers that work in the dairies, compost, and out in the fields, and about 400 seasonal workers. And I think what's astonishing to me is this farm, for example, is the third largest emitter of ammonia in the entire United States. And to give you an idea, all reporting industries in the state of Oregon emit combined about 1.9 million pounds of ammonia a year. 1.9 million. 3 Mile is emitting about 5.5 million pounds. And so it's emitting more than double the amount of ammonia of all of the industries combined in the state of Oregon. So you've had the state money going to fund this monstrosity of a farm that is now one of the largest polluters. There's an article in the Oregonian tying it to these ammonia emissions, to acid rain in the gorge, to the destruction of petroglyphs out in Hell's Canyon. And you know, our concern about the ammonia, in addition to the environmental impact, is workers are breathing it.
Right.
They're breathing it, you know, up to 6 days a week, 10 to 13 hours a day, working on the farm. And, you know, we're scared that, you know, 10, 15 years down the road, we're going to have a kind of a dairy lung scenario similar to the black lung, where, you know, these guys may not be able to breathe
mm-hmm.
Due to this chronic exposure. So we've called for a federal study to look at issues of exposure. And, you know, since this is agriculture, there is no collective bargaining law that, you know, mandates the employer either negotiate with us or not. So that's why we have no alternative but to turn to the public and ask for their support with this. And the workers have been very strong. We have a majority of workers that have signed authorization cards. They have withstood tremendous pressure, captive meetings where they're called in one or two workers at a time with management and grilled about who's supporting the union and trying to be intimidated out of their support. Just Saturday, we had over 100 people in front of the dairy out in Boardman in a protest with the, you know, big windstorm and rainstorm that we had.
Mm-hmm.
They were out there for 2.5 hours. So these guys are, you know, resolute in their desire to have a contract. And, you know, been out of 2.5 years, and if it takes another 2.5 years, so be it. But they're going to get a contract.
So basically, they're still at this point of just trying to get recognized and get the right to negotiate for themselves.
Absolutely.
Wow, this is an amazing thing. And there's no, I know in California there's been some advances over the years in terms of labor law in the state labor board. I can't recall the exact name of it, but
mm-hmm.
is there any such entity in Oregon that the United Farm Workers, that any worker can turn to for support, or are they just not covered, like you said, because of their agricultural workers?
They're just not covered. And in fact, we've had issues with the enforcement of existing regulations. For example, it took workers going to the media to complain about not getting breaks to get the farm to come into compliance, well, partial compliance. people to know, agricultural workers in the state of Oregon only won the right to breaks, two breaks during the paid breaks during the workday in 2004. So even with the existing regs, we've got a lot of issues with enforcement. And when it comes to collective bargaining, there is no agency, there is no governing body that oversees these types of issues.
Is there any push in the state that you know of currently to do some agricultural labor legislation of some kind?
There has been. It's a very interesting story. The push has come from the employers. And what they are trying to do is pass what they call a quote-unquote collective bargaining law that would not facilitate workers having a contract, but develop a bureaucracy to make our ability to win contracts all the more difficult. I think it's important to remember in the 1930s when the National Labor Relations Act was passed, it was the agriculture lobby that lobbied to have agricultural workers excluded.
Mm-hmm.
Now that, you know, us, our sister organization, Woodburn, Pecun, have been effective in organizing outside of the scope of the National Labor Relations Act, you have the employers coming back and say, we want to get these guys covered now, please, so we can... and pushed even further. There were proposals in Oregon state legislature to outlaw boycotts, to outlaw strikes, and basically take away any leverage that we may have to try to get to force employers to negotiate in good faith when a majority of workers, you know, want a contract.
Mm-hmm.
So you've had us, you know, organized labor standing as a bloc saying, you know, the only type of collective bargaining legislation that we'll support is something that's really going to provide a contract at the end of the day for workers. And the employer saying, you know, we want some type of symbolic collective bargaining legislation that's not going to provide, you know, get workers a contract and make it even more difficult for you guys to, you know, to do what you're trying to do. So that's been an ongoing fight we've had in the legislature for, well, I'd say, the last 3 or 4 years.
Well, and they, there, of course, are thousands and thousands of migrant workers, farm workers of all stripes in this state, and it's really, in some ways, it's kind of shameful to hear of how farm workers are still being treated. I know they, obviously, they're most of the time to folks, they're invisible, and it's all that more important that when help is needed from your people like yourself, like United Farm Workers and the workers that are in this situation at Three Mile Canyon Farms, that the word get out. It'd be great, though, if some point we could bring the, elevate the plight of farm workers, the situation the farm workers in, to a higher level and get some protections passed for these folks. It's just, it's astounding. I'm sure it's even more astounding to you that here it is 2005, and like you said, it's just recent that they've even gotten the right to take a break.
Yeah, and I think that the disappointing thing is that, you know, farm workers and consumers are intimately connected. I mean, every time that we sit down and eat, we are enjoying the labors of, you know, the fruit of the labor of farm workers.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have a common cause, and unfortunately it's been the policy in this country, in the state of Oregon, that farm workers are de facto subsidizing the industry by low wages, no benefits, one of the lowest life expectancies in the United States. I mean, I could go on and on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what we're trying to say is we need to change this policy together. And we need to, in order to ensure, you know, quality food, safe food, if and when, you know, farm workers and consumers can come together, we can really change a lot.
Well, is there any pressure on Three Mile Canyon Farms from other governmental sources, for example, environmental quality? Are they getting pressure because of this astounding amount of ammonia? I'm sure there's other things as well that are being released from the farm.
They are now. The problem we've had is that since this is quote-unquote a farm,
mm-hmm.
It's exempt from the Clean Air Act. And we actually joined a coalition of environmental groups, Friends of the Columbia Gorge, Sierra Club, and others, in filing a petition last week with EPA calling for that exemption to be revoked,
mm-hmm.
and for the Clean Air Act to apply to industrial farms such as this. Because again, when they're emitting more than twice the amount of ammonia of all industries combined in the state of Oregon, and DEQ says they have no jurisdiction, something is terribly wrong with the system.
So I'm assuming this ammonia is coming from the incredible amount of manure that must be generated on this farm. Are they, do they put them in holding ponds? And
yeah, they have two big lagoons. To give you an idea, these cows produce the equivalent waste to a city of just over 1 million people. So imagine the city of Salem, the way that they dealt with their waste was just to stockpile it into a lagoon and let it sit.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's happening at 3 Mile.
All right. And then is that stuff mainly used back on the fields, or do you have any idea where that stuff goes after it?
Some of it is put back in the field. Some of it, a lot of it goes up in the air.
Uh-huh.
They're selling some of it as compost, like to the Oregon Garden.
Uh-huh.
And if you check out 3 Mile and listen to them, they will try to greenwash themselves and talk about they're sustainable, they're mm-hmm. green. It's outrageous how they're trying to make these claims about themselves while being, polluters and mm-hmm. very anti-labor and anti-women.
Well, I mean, it's something that's been around all the time, of course, but we are definitely in the ultimate age of spin, that a place like this can call itself green and that, on down the line, it's amazing. And, kind of like that's one of the things we found out, kind of exposed in a way you exposed, I should say, with Kettle Foods, is that they talked about, I think, they had some slogans about working with small farmers and local farmers, and of course, it's hard to call the 3 Mile Canyon Farms a small potato farmer. But anyway, we don't need to dwell on that because you seem to have generated enough support and clout to get them to, Kettle Foods that is, to take a stand. So what's next up? What are next in the steps for these workers and for the United Farm Workers on this issue? And then that leads to what kind of support are you asking from folks that might be listening?
Well, tomorrow in Portland, we're organizing a rally and press conference in front of the Bank of the West branch office in downtown Portland, in which we'll be making an announcement about some significant litigation against the farm, and calling on Bank of the West to take action. As I mentioned, they're the sole lender right now to the farm. Bank of the West, for example, is owned by a French multinational that operates in 85 different countries, and so far we've generated letters of support, again, from Canada, the Philippines, and France.
Mm-hmm.
So what we are looking to do starting tomorrow is really launch an international campaign calling on Bank of the West and its parent company, and the parent company, again, tries to greenwash itself talking about social, economic, and environmental justice. And we're saying, well, if that's anything more than rhetoric, how are you need to do something about the situation out of 3 Mile.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be the beginning of a national campaign. We ask people to, if they're not on our email list, to please join it. You can just take a couple seconds and, sending your opinion to these different companies, it has an impact.
Mm-hmm.
Our website's just UFW, United Farm Workers, UFW.org.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a form right there where you can fill out to get your, be on our alert.
Mm-hmm.
And, the workers are going to keep going. There are a number of issues that will be coming out in the press in the next couple of weeks and months, and they're going to keep pushing hard to make sure that they ultimately have a union.
Okay. Well, sounds good. Is there anything else you'd like to add before you give you some space to talk to folks in Spanish?
Well, again, I think it's very easy to underestimate the power and the import of participation. For many of your listeners, think, well, I get a lot of emails, and who knows if it has an impact. And I just want folks to know it does have an impact. It does work. And adding your voice to the voices of thousands of consumers around the United States, when we do it in an organized, collective fashion, has a tremendous impact. And we're very thankful that Kettle was responsive and listened to that impact, and hopefully we'll be able to, generate an equal amount of voices and even more calling on Bank of the West to take action
mm-hmm.
so we can get this issue resolved once and for all at 3 Mile.
All right, and again, I want to ask you then, is there any anybody in this state, in the political arena, championing agricultural labor reform of some kind at this point that we can keep an eye open for?
Not so much in the legislature. The person that's really been taking the lead is the president of PECUN,
mm-hmm.
Ramon Ramirez.
Mm-hmm.
And Ramon's done a tremendous job politically of, fighting off the forces that are trying to make our collective job of, improving the lives of farm workers even more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I think, really, the folks at PECUN and Ramon in particular have done an amazing job.
All right. Okay, well, I told you I'd give you some space to say whatever you want, basically, in Spanish, a message at the end here. So if you're ready to do that,
sure.
Why don't you do that, Eric?
Great. Well, thank you. Compañeros, aquí habla Eric Nicholson. Soy director regional de la Unión de Campesinos de América, la Unión fundada por César Chávez. Nosotros nos encontramos aquí en los estados de Oregon, Washington, y estamos en lucha para proteger y mejorar las condiciones de vida para los campesinos. Si usted desea pues participar en nuestra lucha, póngase en contacto con nuestra oficina. Tenemos una en Sunnyside, Washington, y también tenemos una organización hermana que se encuentra en Woodburn, que se llama PECUN. So, si usted se encuentra con problemas o dificultades o quiere saber más de cómo defender sus derechos, póngase en contacto con PECUN, nuestra oficina. Los números de teléfono de PECUN son del área 503-982-0243 y la oficina nuestra, la área 509-839-4903. Gracias. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Thank you for spending some time with us here this morning, and good luck, and please do let us know if there's some other things of importance that need to be shared with the general public.
Absolutely, and as Cesar Chavez, our founder, always used to say, and I think as we've just proven, si se puede, yes, it can be done. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Bye.